Joel chapter 2, verses 18 to 27. Prosperity returns. Now, this discourse could be very, very short indeed. In a sense, it's the opposite of the previous discourse. What do we see here? God's promise through Joel to Judah of the return of prosperity. They had been in fear and dearth. There had been a dryness. There had been a deadness about the people. The land was in a terrible state. There had been grief and bondage and weeping. All that is very clear in this passage. But that's the negative side. The passage actually is tremendously positive. I am sending you grain, new wine, and oil, enough to satisfy you, and so on and so on. The reversal of all these things, fear, dearth, dryness, deadness, grief and bondage and weeping, all giving way to life and joy and exuberance and fruitfulness and the return of harvest and gladness and liberty. A sense of exaltation. All that is set out very clearly in Joel 2, 18 to 27. The question is, what are we to make of it? Judah should make literally good in their minds these promises. God, in the days of the Old Covenant, would visit them again. The temple would be reinstated. The harvests would come in. The crops would bear. They would be defended from their enemies and so on. That is the Old Covenant. Now, as you know, there are those teachers who would bring this over into the New Covenant, lock, stock, and barrel. I've written against it, the prosperity gospelers. I've written against it in Beyond the Negative. If you want to see my arguments, read it there. But some stop with the negative. This does not apply to us. Well, no, literally it does not. There is no penny in the slot in the days of the New Covenant. It never was anyway. God was merciful to Israel, to Judah. But it was in a material way. The land, the nation, the crops, the stock in the land, in the farms, and so on. Yes, but in the days of the New Covenant, we give way from the shadow. The shadow gives way, and we come into the reality. The material is given way to the spiritual. And the equivalent here is not material benefit, is not the prosperity gospel. But there is a blessing in the gospel in the days of the New Covenant. Now, it's not automatic. I'm not saying that this is what God will definitely bring to us if we pray to him, but I would turn it into prayer. Times of fear and dearth and dryness and deadness, when the gospel is in such a state, when the churches are in such a state, when believers are in such a state, when there's bondage and grief and weeping, then let us turn unto the Lord our God and cry to him that he would visit us with a reviving. Let us be encouraged by such a passage as this, to plead with God that he would do it for us in a spiritual sense. If the argument is raised, well, it's not in the New Testament, I would say that by and large in the New Testament, they were experiencing this. But there are hints in the New Testament, Revelation 2 and 3, and other places too in the New Testament, where decline had come in, bondage had come in, and there's promise of returning mercy if the people will repent and turn to God. Please note, I'm not saying the prosperity gospel, nor am I saying it's an automatic thing, but I am urging you, my brother and sister, I'm urging myself to use such a passage as this and to turn it to the Lord and say, will you not have mercy upon us? Will you not revive us again? We've gone out sowing with weeping. Can we not come again bearing our sheaves with us, reaping and smiling and laughing? Can we not have the experience where, it says in the Psalms, we were like them that dreamed. We have been weeping, but the Lord restored us. The Lord bless us. Make it a matter of prayer, my friend, individually. Is there a dryness in your soul, brother? Is there a dearth, sister, in your spiritual experience? Oh, Lord, will you not revive me again? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Come back to me, Lord. Kindle again in my heart this flame of sacred love. The churches. Oh, there's plenty of activity. There's plenty of things going on. But are they spiritual? God knows. We have to make our mind up. I believe we need a spiritual revival, not just an activity revival, a spiritual revival, a fruitful revival, one that will last forever. I'm speaking of the fruit lasting forever. That God would revive us again with real conversions and real spiritual obedience to the gospel of Christ. And of course, there's a word here for the unbeliever. Outside of Christ, all is dearth and deadness and darkness. Only in Christ is there this lasting joy, lasting joys, lasting pleasures, solid joys. None but Zion's children know. The spiritual, that's what I'm emphasizing here. Now, John Newton and John Ryland, between them, a hymn was composed. Let me read it to you. Saviour, visit thy plantation. Grant us, Lord, a gracious rain. All will come to desolation unless thou return again. Lord, revive us. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Surely once thy garden flourished, every part looked bright and green. Then thy word our spirits nourished. Happy seasons we have seen. Lord, revive us. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. But a drought has since succeeded, and a sad decline we see. Lord, thy help is greatly needed. Help can only come from thee. Lord, revive us. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Dearest Saviour, hasten thither. Thou canst make us bloom again. Oh, permit us not to wither. None can hope in thee in vain. Lord, revive us. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. Break the tempter's fatal power. Turn each stony heart to flesh, and begin from this good hour to revive thy work afresh. Lord, revive us. Lord, revive us. All our help must come from thee. I urge you, my friend, to look at the passage Joel 2:18-27. And to press it upon God in a spiritual sense, that he would send us a season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, that he would open the windows of heaven and pour us out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. We must see an awakening. Sinners need to be converted. The saints need to be edified. God must be glorified. And nothing short of a glorious, glorious outpouring of the Spirit will do it. May we live to see it. May we pray for it. I encourage you. I encourage myself. May God bless this discourse to us all. Amen.